the 102nd Psalm. Psalm 102, page 648 in your Scofield Bible. We'll be reading responsively the first seven verses. The seventh verse is the text verse for this morning's message. Psalm 102, verses 1 through 7, page 648. And may we stand, please, as is our custom here at First Baptist. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry come unto Thee. Hide not Thy face from me in the day when I am in trouble. Incline Thine ear unto me in the day when I call. Answer me speedily, for my days are consumed like smoke, and my bones are burned as an hearth. My heart is smitten and withered like grass, so that I forget to eat my bread. By reason of the voice of my groaning, my bones cleave to my skin. I am like a pelican of the wilderness. I am like an owl of the desert. And together on the seventh verse, I watch and am as a sparrow alone upon the housetop. And that's pretty. And Father, what a joy it is to be a part of this great ministry, this church. Thank you for First Baptist. Thank you for our preacher. And we pray for your special blessing and help for him and for us in the all-important business of the message of the gospel. We pray that you'd bless this morning's service and the preaching and prepare our hearts and make them very tender. Help us to be very alert. In Jesus' name, amen.
What a beautiful verse. David says, I watch and am as a sparrow alone upon the housetop. Our Heavenly Father, every word is placed in Thy book on purpose. Every jot, every tittle is not an accident. And so we come to this just a little line from Thy word. But what a beautiful line. And what a line full of truth. I sit as a sparrow alone upon the housetop. Bless us together in these moments this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. You don't think I'd stay in this area when it's going to be 12, 14 below zero, do you? I mean, the birds have enough sense to go south. So Monday, I heard it was going to be down to 14 below zero. Of course, went to O'Hare Field and went to Florida. You don't think if I go to Florida, I'm going to go to the cold part of Florida, do you? My mama didn't raise no dumb boys, so I went to Florida Keys. I met at the airport by my good friend, Dr. Bruce Porter, pastor of the church there in Isla Mirada, Florida, about halfway between Miami and Key West. He told me about an hour and a half's drive to Isla Mirada from the Miami airport. While you were below zero here, it was 84 degrees. But I'm willing to do it. It's got to be done, folks. The gospel's got to go to the difficult places, too. They put me in a lovely room. Nobody treats me with any more kindness and thoughtfulness than Brother Porter does, the church there in Isla Mirada. The room had a nice balcony on it. The Gulf of Mexico was out. The ocean, for all practical purposes, was just looked out the balcony, and there it was. Oh, there are a few things blocking it, like palm trees and things like that. But I, of course, decided to take a walk. And I had a little while before the service, so I took a walk. My sermon this morning is built around that walk. I walked alongside the road. If you've never been to the Florida Keys, it's amazing. It's just a bunch of little islands, one after the other, connected by bridges. And most of them are not any wider, well, not much wider than this auditorium. There just was one main street goes down through the entire thing, and then few little roads that go off, but in Adirondack, for example, it's only about a block this way till you get to the Gulf, and a block this way till you get to the ocean. I was on the ocean side, by the way. And so Adirondack, most of it's just two or three blocks wide, and of course several miles long. It's just a little land strip there that just popped up out of the water one day. So I took a walk down the main road there, just a two-lane road. And I was enjoying the balmy breezes, you know, and praying for you peasants here in Hammond, and thanking God that I was not as you were. But as I walked, my room, of course, my hotel was on the road, but the back of the motel was at the ocean. There was not even a block between the road and the ocean. And in fact, I believe you could have taken a stone, and if you had a pretty good arm, you could have thrown a rock from the road and almost could have hit the water from the road. And behind the motel was some greenery and so forth. And I came across a little bird. Now, I'm not too good at birds, and I don't know what kind of bird it was. I know it was just a little old common bird, probably a sparrow. We used to call them chee-chees when I was a boy. And came across a little bird. Couldn't walk. Was trying to walk and couldn't walk. That's the third time in my life I did that. One was over here on Fayette Street. I hit one in the car and got out and watched him die. And did the last rites over his body. And but I one time I was down in Tallahassee, Florida. I was walking down through a shopping center, and there I saw a little bird fluttering there, shopping center, and I helped him some. But this time I saw this little bird, and it couldn't fly, and it couldn't walk. I don't know whether the car had hit it. I don't know what. It was a little bit off the road. A car could have hit it, I guess. And I stood there and watched it for a while. And, of course, naturally, I thought about, what is it, Luke 6 and other passages. It talks about God notes every sparrow that falls. And also that probably God determines where the sparrow falls and when a sparrow falls. But God takes note of the fallen sparrow. So I got right up close to the little bird, because if heaven's camera's on that bird, I want to get my picture and I want to say hi, Mom. And but I got right close to the bird because I knew God was looking at the bird, and I wanted to get a good glimpse of me too. And I shouldn't have done it, but I turned to walk away. Went back to my room and got to thinking about that little bird. Couldn't get my mind off that little bird. So I went back outside and walked down the street, found the bird. It's still there. Now, I couldn't get my mind off it because I thought, not good night, nobody's going to care for that bird. So I took me a towel with me, and I picked up the bird and put it on the towel and took it back to my room. And I said, why'd you use the towel? Well, in the first place, I didn't want anybody to see me taking a bird to my room. And maybe against the rules. Well, I had a balcony outside, and so I took the little bird and put the towel down and placed the bird on the towel. There was a Howard Johnson's restaurant right next door, so I went over there and bought it some bird feed. Hamburger, french fries, and so forth. And he wasn't hungry, so I didn't know what birds liked. I've never been a bird, and I didn't know what birds like. I know you have little what do you call them? Kind of bird you put in a cage. Canary, yeah, canary. We always call them the kind of bird you put in a cage. But anyway, I knew that you bought bird feed for them, but I didn't know where to buy any bird feed. Didn't have a car. Didn't know where a bird feed store was. So I went over and bought a little stuff and put it out. Put the bird out there on the balcony, on the towel, and put some food around it. He didn't like pizza. And put some food around it, and I sat out there beside it for a while and talked to it. And it sang to me a little bit, and I talked to it and sat there. In fact, I was going to read the paper a little bit, so I took the paper out there. I don't usually do that. I usually read it inside, but I took it out there because I wanted the bird to have some company. So I really got feeling sorry for the little thing. And so I left it there and sat there and read the paper, and I talked to it a little bit. And I put some water out there. The birds drink water. I don't know if birds drink water or not. But I got a lid and put some water in the lid and put the lid out, full of water, and put it out there beside the bird. And he had made, really, a free room on the balcony overlooking the ocean. And food right there, didn't have to move to get it. And water right there, didn't have to move to get it. And so while I was there, I was there 2 days, and actually got there on Monday afternoon and stayed all day Tuesday, and then left before daybreak Tuesday morning. But I fed the bird. I don't know whether he ate it or not, but I put food out there and put water out there. Went out there several times and talked to him. See, I talked, I don't know whether him or her, but I talked to it. And then, of course, Wednesday morning I left. Left the bird there on the balcony, on the towel. I'm sure the folks at the motel appreciate that. And quite frankly, I didn't think about that bird anymore. After I left, I forgot about the bird. On Thursday, and that was on Wednesday morning, on Thursday, I was reading my Bible. I came to this psalm, Psalm number 102. And I knew it was here, but I never had noticed it. I read the Bible through many times. But I never had noticed this verse. David said, I watch and am as a sparrow alone on the housetop. And I thought about my experience. And I thought maybe the Holy Spirit gave me that so I could understand this verse when it came by. So I began to study this verse. I began to check here and there with certain commentaries and so words and so forth. Here's what I found. I found the word where David said, I watch and am as a sparrow alone upon the housetop. The word sparrow means any little bird. Any little bird. Like we used to call a camera a Kodak. We say, you're going to go picture taking. We used to say, I'm going to go Kodaking. We took any camera was a Kodak. But Kodak, of course, is the name of a camera and a camera company. But this word sparrow in the Old Testament is any kind of a little insignificant bird. Any kind. And then I found that, as David said, I am like a sparrow alone upon the housetop. I found that this verse was almost exactly what I did. Almost exactly. Here's what would happen. If somebody came across a wounded bird, the custom was to pick it up and put it up on the roof. Now, they had flat roofs on the houses, access from the inside up to the roof, and folks would sit up there on the roof, much like you'd sit on a balcony. If they found a bird that was wounded, they'd pick it up, take that bird up on the housetop, and care for it. Now, why did they put it on the housetop? Same reason I put that bird on the balcony. Because if the bird got strength enough to fly, it could fly away from the top of the house. And, of course, the people that had helped the bird were hoping that they'd come out and see the bird gone one day and realize the bird had flown away. That way they'd gotten the bird back to fly again. That's what this verse means. David is saying, that's me. By the way, it was on the housetop where he fell. When he saw Bathsheba on the housetop. And David said, that's me, that bird. He said, I fell. But he said, God picked me up. And God is caring for me. Now, he said, I'm not able to fly yet, but I'll fly again. I'm on the housetop right now. God has picked me up. And God is caring for me. And God is feeding me. And right now, just able to
lay here on the housetop. But David said, I'll fly again. That's what 1 John 2:1 means. My little children, these things write I unto you that you sin not. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And that word advocate is the word paraclete. Same word that's mentioned as the Holy Spirit in John 14 and 15. If any man sin, we have a paraclete. The word means we have somebody to run to our side and pick us up. And David was saying, like that little bird there on the housetop, that little bird that fell and his pinion maybe was broken or his wings could not carry him. David said, I too fell. And as somebody came and picked that little bird up, David said, somebody came and picked me up. From sinking sand, he lifted me. With tender hand, he lifted me. From shades of night to realms of light, oh, bless his name, he lifted me. And David said, like a bird that was fallen, picked up by the loving hands of somebody who cares. So I had fallen. But the loving hands picked me up. Those loving hands were the hands of the one mentioned in 1 John 2:1. If any man sin, we. I like what John said there. He didn't say if any man sin, he has an advocate with the Father. John realized that John himself was going to sin. In fact, don't you recall when James and John sought the better seats on the right hand and the left hand of our Lord in the kingdom? They too had known what it was to get in the flesh. And John said, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. If any man sins, not he, but if any man sin, we, you, I, have an advocate with the Father. And that word advocate means somebody to run to us and pick us up and stand by our side, make us stronger, and get us back walking again. That's what he means. David says, I was like that. God looks out over this audience this morning and God sees some fallen birds. You don't know who they are, but I know who many of them are. Everybody in this room this morning is either a fallen bird that God wants to pick up, or you were a fallen bird whom God did pick up. And everybody in this room this morning can relate to this little story here, a little story about the bird down in Alamorada, Florida. You can relate to it because the devil wounded you and the devil left you crippled and the devil left you so you couldn't fly. But thank God, the advocate came by. He ran to our side and picked us up. Cares for us. David said, I'll fly again. Crippled right now, David said, I'll fly again. I was on a housetop when I fell, and I'm on a housetop now. But somebody picked me up, and they lifted me out of the condition in the mire and picked me up and put me on the housetop, and that somebody is now feeding me, trying to get me strong again. And God looks over this room this morning, and God says to many of you, you've fallen, haven't you? I don't mean you've fallen where you're going to go to the penitentiary in every case. Some cases are perhaps so. I don't mean you've fallen to where you've gone into all kinds of deep sensuality. In some cases, perhaps so. But all over this great sea of faces this morning, there are people who are like that little bird I saw Monday afternoon. You can't fly. You did. Once you've flown and can't fly anymore, it's a pretty sad situation. I thought about that little bird. We were sitting out there on a balcony together, and I was talking, it was singing. I could talk better than it could sing. I was talking, singing. And I heard the birds out there in the trees. And I saw the birds flying outside the balcony. And I wondered if that little bird didn't look and watch the birds flying and remember when it could fly. I'm talking to somebody this morning, used to fly, but you can't fly anymore. I mean, the devil's wounded you. And does what he always does. He leaves you unattended. I mean, the world's not going to help you. I mean, the tavern keeper's not going to come to you and pick you up when you've fallen. I mean, the world's not... The only way the world can do it is the government makes them do it, and they have to tax you to get you to feed the poor or to care for the fallen. But bless God, there's somebody cares for you. And that's what David is saying. He's saying, I fell, but he's saying somebody cared for me and picked me up, and they're feeding me and nurturing me back to health. Someday, I'll fly again. And by the way, he did fly again. God is saying this morning to you, as he looks at you, the fallen bird, and he says, I love you. He's saying to you, let me pick you up. He's saying to you, let me care for you. He's saying to you, you can fly again. And he said, you may not fly as high as you once flied, but you can fly again. I've got every confidence in the world. That little bird I left down there Wednesday morning is flying today. I helped it fly. It may never have flown again. I hadn't helped it. But I helped it fly. Could I say this morning? Bless God all over this room this morning. There are people flying again because I helped them to learn to fly again. That's my life. That's the way I spend my life. Doing what? Finding little broken pinion birds like you. Trying to nurture you back to health. Love you and counsel with you and feed you. And do what I can to get you strong again so you can fly. I want to say to you little birds that have fallen this morning, you can fly again.
You may not soar as high as you used to soar. And I expect that little bird I saw last Monday in Island Rondo, Florida. I expect that little bird's not flying quite as friskily as he was this time last week.
If he was, in fact, not injured then.
And I expect that when he began to fly, it was a little uncomfortable for a while. And maybe he's a little bit careful and he flies just from one tree to the other. But the truth is,
that little bird, is either flying again or will fly again. And God looks down this morning and God says to you, he says to you sailor boys back there,
got a broken pinion, winged and clipped, living in sin, away from God, life not counting. God says, I love you, sailor lad. I love you. I want to pick you up. I want you to fly again.
God says to you young people today in this room,
who believe the dirty lies of the devil. And I've never hated the devil like I hate him now in all my life. He's a liar. He's a crook. He's a deceiver. Don't you believe him.
He'll break your pinions and clip your wings and leave you to die. And then you'll come back to my office to see me. Like the little fallen birds will sooner or later. I spend my life with fallen birds. That's been my life many years. A young lady, perhaps a young lady, grew up from the nursery in our church who was carrying an illegitimate child. And if they'll let me, I'll nurture them back to health. If they'll let me, I'll teach them how to fly again. Some do, some don't. Some will, some won't. But some of the sweetest Christians in this room today are people who grew up in this church and they listened to the devil and listened to the tempter and let the wicked hands of lustful men touch them. And the lady has got a little girl, became pregnant, and she came back and we nurtured them back to health. And some of the finest folks in this room this morning, people like that. Spend my life with these fallen birds. A young man who was on dope comes to me and says, preacher, I need help. And I get him some food and some water, put him on a towel, as it were, try to nurture him back to health again. You know, it's interesting. The little sparrow that I messed around with while I was down there, I'd sit there and look at him, wonder how he felt. I got attached to the crazy little thing. I even gave him a name. I've forgotten what it was, but I even gave him a name. And I got attached to him. And I went out on Tuesday morning to see how he was doing, and I made myself think he was a little better. I asked him how better he was. He didn't say he felt any better, but I made myself think he felt a little better. I thought I'd done some good. I love to see just a little growth here and a little growth there. Some fallen bird, some college student maybe who's fallen, some adult maybe who's fallen, some man who's fallen, some woman who's fallen.
And they come and say, "Preacher," as one of the ladies said yesterday morning, she said, I wanna get my life reorganized.
Grew up in our church.
Has tasted all the devil has to offer. I mean, it tasted mighty good when she first ate it, but brother, it always leaves a bitter taste
and a sour taste in your mouth. And she said, "I wanna get my life back together again." I rejoiced an hour. I've been her pastor since she was a little girl. We're going to piece it back together. I mean, she's not flying right now, but she'll fly. I told her yesterday, I said, "I'd like to see you teach a Sunday school class one day." Boy, she looked up as if, "Me teach Sunday school class?" "Yeah."
"You say, you mean a fallen woman could teach a Sunday school class?"
"You are, aren't you?" "That's all's here, right?
It's all's here." "Sure. Now, you say, you mean to tell me that a bird that has fallen, you going to let it fly again?"
"I'm not going to let it fly again. I'm going to help it fly again. Can't fly by itself. Take it on a trip with me and put it on an airplane."
"Yeah. You know why? I'm not a Pharisee, that's why. I'm opinion splinter."
Our young man fell from school. "I spend my life with fallen birds. Young man's expelled from college. Maybe he's from this church." I told Dr. Evans, Dr. Jorgensen. "Young man, expelled from our college the other day. Not sure if we can let him come back for a long time. For the college's sake.
But when he's still from the college, I'm still his preacher." He comes to the office, and I try to piece pieces together again. Oh, I love that song. If I could sing, I'd have it as a theme song. "Dear Lord, take up the tangled strands that we have wrought in vain, that by the skill of thy dear hand some beauty may remain." Now I want to tell you this morning, I don't care how far you've fallen. I don't care how bad shape your pinion's in. I don't care how many feathers are out of your wings. You can fly again. God loves you. You can fly again.
If you let us help you, we'll help you fly again. I spend my life with these fallen birds. Young lady divorced. Two children. Grew up in our church. Husband left her. Making $125 a week, $275 goes for rent a month. About $100 of that goes for bills. $500 is spent out of, and she makes $125 a week. That's all she gets, about $500 a month, and practically all of it goes for place to live for her. She, for her and two little children. Looked at me and she said, "I had to borrow these clothes to wear today." Oh, I hate the devil. Destroyer.
Liar. Cheat. Crook.
I hate him for what he does to our people. I hate him for what he does to our kids. I spend my life with these little fallen birds. She's going to fly again. Young lady. Two children, never married.
"You mean that kind of people sit here in this church?"
"Yep.
All of them welcome. Come every soul by sin oppressed. There's mercy with the Lord.
He will surely give you rest by trusting in His Word." Spend my life with these fallen birds. Young man, his wife divorced him. Saw his dad today in the alley, and I said, "I'm so proud of you, son." "You say proud of a fella that's been in sin?" Yeah, that's why I'm proud of you. "You're not so hot yourself, Buster." "I got more respect for a bird that can't fly than the bird that doesn't care. I spend my life with these fallen birds. Young lady, I wish you could sit in my office across the table from a young lady who grew up in our church. One of our kids went to our schools, has a baby, doesn't live with it. Judge gave it to the daddy. How would you like to have a child 4 or 5 years old today you hadn't seen in a year and can't see it? Young people, that's what the devil does. The other day I got a note on my door. That young lady, and she said, I need to see you. I didn't know she was in church. Man, I was so thrilled. She's going to fly again. Some, thank God, are flying again. If you don't love people that have fallen, he's probably sitting by one. One's probably sitting by you, too. Oh, one is the person. You're probably one. Of course, I like Luke 12:6. Luke 12:6 says, our Father takes note of every sparrow that falls. Then he says, but you can sell 5 sparrows for 2 farthings. You know what a farthing is? A farthing is 1/4 of a penny. 1/4 of a penny. It says 5 sparrows cost 0.5 cents. That's about 1/10 of a penny per sparrow. I mean, and the Father said, if he takes note of that little sparrow that falls, how much more does he love you? A human being. Little sparrow is not made in the image of God.
Little sparrow has no eternal spirit. Little sparrow can't be born again. Little sparrow can't preach the gospel. Little sparrow can't teach the Bible. Little sparrow didn't receive God's revealed word from heaven. Little sparrow wasn't the object of Calvary. But you are. How much more will God lift you?
He loves you. He loves you very much. After the devil's finished with you, and after the crowd has left you, and after the guy that led you astray has walked away to leave you with a couple of kids rear by yourself and won't even give you a dime to support him, and after your health is gone, and after your beauty is faded, and after your chances of doing God's perfect will are finished,
and when you're in the gutter, and folks are passing by like the multitudes pass by, little sparrow beside the road.
Our Father, thank you. Thank you. Thank you that you love us so much. And thank you that you even use a little sparrow worth 0.1 penny. Told us if you love him, how much more do you love us? If you're concerned about him, how much more concerned about us are you? Thank you. Picking us up. And David says, I'm like a sparrow alone on the housetop.